Welcome back to the Maniac Radio Show. I'm Senior Master Sergeant Andy Sinclair, and on this episode, Senior Airman Bridget Rosignol is back with another heavy-hitting interview. She talks with both Chief Niedorowski and Chief Poland. She talks about the transitions in the command suite, Chief Poland's aspirations, and Chief Niedorowski's advice, not to mention the selfless career that Chief Niedorowski has had. Hey, she's asked that you put your headphones on, turn that treadmill up to 10, turn the car volume up, or find a quiet space. Okay, I added the treadmill part. But seriously, you're not going to want to miss this one.
Chief Niedorowski and Chief Poland, thank you for joining me today. You've both had a couple days now to settle into your new roles and new chapters. Has it sunk in yet that you're retired?
Not quite yet. Knocking out a couple of technician days, but yeah. It was really good to see everybody at the ceremonies. Acknowledge Ben as the new wing command chief, and a great ceremony that about my career, I guess, and seeing everybody there and all of Hamden, I guess. So that was cool. But yeah, it was really cool, and it's sinking in now. It's starting to sink in. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
Is the office cleared out yet?
Yeah, the office is cleared out. Yeah, Ben's been good to me, though. He still lets me sit there for right now. So
yeah, I haven't kicked him out yet. he still has his parking spot too. So
what have the first few days looked like for you? Take us back to the change of command ceremony over drill weekend. It was so nice having both your families there. They both seem so proud. So just how's it been for you these first couple days?
It's been incredible. Stan and I have worked really close together for, well, really as long as I've been in the seat up in ops, even before he was hired as command chief, him and I worked and talked almost every day. So that's been obviously continued, and we've spent a little bit more time together. So it's been good. The change of responsibility and retirement ceremony were incredible. Wasn't quite prepared for the turnout that we had, which was great. It was really nice to have our families there, the town of Hamden there. It was awesome. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, going off of that, in some of the photos I took, your son is just looking up at you, beaming with pride. What influence has your family had on your career thus far, and what did it mean to you to have them all there?
I don't even know that I could put that into words, to be honest with you. They are the most understanding, supportive family you can imagine. When I've had to go away or when I've had to work late, they have always been supportive and encouraging, and I noticed that too when I saw that photo of Liam and then my two goofball daughters as well. But that just made me incredibly proud, just to see that they were so proud. So it was nice.
And Chief Niedorowski, we have to talk about Trish.
Oh, geez.
We love to talk about Trish. She's not one for the spotlight, though. I mean, that's obvious. She did not want to go up on that stage. She did not want the spotlight. But at your ceremony, she was presented with a few awards.
She was.
One of which being
well-deserved.
Yes, the 2025 Air Force Spouse of the Year Award. What does it mean to you to have such a selfless rock star wife supporting your long career?
Oh, she's amazing. She's been there since day one, I guess, right? I mean, I was in the military when I met her up at Loring Air Force Base. From day one, we just synced up as a team. And the only time she ever lied to me is that when she said she'd be happy to move out of the state of Maine and go to North Carolina. And that's our little inside joke, because that was the impetus for us coming back home to Maine. We got down there and decided it wasn't quite for us and came back home. But having her there and having her be recognized as the spouse of the year and just as the amazing person that she is, it was huge for me and huge for the neighborhood and the family and for all of the maniacs that were there. I thought it was really cool for her, but she's not for the spotlight at all. So she's much more comfortable with shining that light on her folks that are around her over at Wings and family and that kind of thing. So, yeah. But it was amazing to have her there and be recognized for sure.
Chief Poland, tell us a little bit about what you do in your not-so-free time. They talked about how you have a couple, you sit on the board for a couple different, local organizations and things like that. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've been involved in athletics since I graduated high school, really. I played soccer in college till I hurt myself. and then I started coaching right after that. And I've coached high school sports all the way through from like 2000 to now. I'm still currently coach now. And then when my kids started getting to the age of youth athletics, youth sports, I got involved with a youth soccer organization, and now I'm involved with two. So it keeps us very, we have a very active family anyway. You know, even with Liam having graduated high school last year, supporting him, you know, as he's entered into his college life. And then obviously my two daughters, Alexis is in high school and she's, you know, a three sport athlete. And then Tenley is involved in anything you could possibly imagine to be involved in. So she plays, you know, soccer and basketball. So they keep us really busy. I like to be involved. You know, at first it was just from the coaching standpoint. And then that kind of evolved into, you know, being on the board and helping the direction of both of those youth sports organizations as we move forward and grow. So it's very busy, but I love every second of it.
Do you see any symmetries between what you do on the outside and what you do here? I know you just started in this new role, but even your previous role or your career thus far, any symmetries between the two?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's all about relationships. It's all about creating strong relationships with people from different backgrounds and, you know, different upbringings. And so there's a lot of, you know, similarities between that, that as well as coaching, you know, you know, I'm a high school varsity soccer coach. So, high school age boys are unique in their own right. So building strong, trusting relationships with them, mentoring them, and helping them, you know, grow as just not, you know, to be a really good soccer player, but to be a really good human being. So, yeah, it's very similar to what I do out here, you know, with, you know, obviously up in operations, I've been the group SEL up there for the last 6 years. And coming from outside of ops, you know, I had relationships with all of them, you know, with the previous job that I was in before that. But, you know, getting in there and letting them know that I'm there for them, I'm there to advocate for them. And creating those relationships has been really important. So,
it's awesome. Chief Niedorowski, the role of Wing Command Chief isn't one that just anyone can fill. What did you feel were some characteristics or experiences of Chief Poland that you believe made him a great fit to be the next Wing Command Chief?
I think, like he said before, right, the relationship that he's built over the years, those have been amazing for him and really prepared him well for that. The role of the group, the ops group SEL, going in there as the outsider, like he said, it was huge, right? I mean, one of the first people to do that. And, you know, to go in there and ingratiate himself the way he did and really establish those relationships and close relationships, right? And then the leadership team up there embraced him and really trusted him with their folks. And then thus the folks really trusted him as well. And I think that was great. And I think his outside the gate endeavors with coaching and handling all the different personalities and all that really sets him up. Excuse me. And then his background from down at personnel, I mean, really is going to set him up for success in this role because of that extra particular set of skills that I've been saying all along that he has going into it will help him a lot too. So yeah.
Yeah, and at the ceremony, I mean, Colonel Newell was talking about all the informal jobs that you took on as Wing Command Chief, like shoveling snow from the walkways and popping popcorn for the building. Yeah. What's some advice you have for Chief Poland regarding things that things you wouldn't find on a typical job description for the Wing Command Chief?
Well, he and I have chatted about it before, and I got the same advice from Chief Scott Osgood when I got the job because people were saying big shoes to fill, that kind of stuff. And he's like, you got your own shoes. And that's the same thing I said to Ben. Ben's going to come into the job. He's gonna hit the ground running, which he already has. He's setting up this open house family day for the deployers' families, and he's doing a great job with that. And so those are the kinds of things that he's going to come in, lay the groundwork, and make his own road. and that's what he has to do. And he's great at that. He did it up in ops, and he'll do amazing things for the wing and for the main air guard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with that, Chief Poland, what are some goals you have for yourself in this role, or things that you hope to do, both, you know, informal or formal?
Like I said, Stan and I talk a lot. And one of the things that I've kind of missed, and it's kind of my own fault at the same time, is I've kind of engrossed myself in ops and building those relationships. And something that I really prided myself on before that, and you know, when I worked down at FSS, was that I knew everybody. Just by, you know, virtue of the job down there, you had the interactions with every person, you know, from our new enlistees to our people that are retiring. So I took great pride in knowing who everybody was. And I realized that I don't know everybody now. So I'm really looking forward to getting out, learning people's stories, and building those relationships and getting to know people. I think that's something that has really impressed me, something that Stan does. And, you know, when you're walking around with Stan, he knows everyone's name. And I hope to get back to that. And like I said, just getting out and about and getting to know people and to know their stories is something that I'm looking forward to. So the popcorn making, I've been trained on that. The shoveling, I have some pretty good experience with that as well. I do have a backpack leaf blower, so
that's next level.
I'll throw that. Yeah, next level. I'll throw that in the back of my truck and make sure I have that ready. But and as we listened to Colonel Newell talk on Sunday about all of the unknown things to people that Stan, you know, things that Stan has done, he's an incredible human being, certainly going to miss him a lot.
Yeah, so from the outside looking in, before you kind of stepped into this role, Chief Poland, what did you think the role entailed, being Wing Command Chief?
That's a good question. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, before, Stan and I talk pretty much almost every day. So, you know, there's the day-to-day things. I feel like I had a pretty good understanding of that, and I'm learning that I might not have had as good of an understanding of that as I did. But it's just being involved, advocating for our airmen, giving advice when needed, and then obviously, you know, building a strong relationship with the leadership team that I'm going to be with here for the next few years. That's going to be really important. So
it's obvious, Chief Niedorowski, that this job, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. You have long days, early mornings, late nights. What kept you motivated to keep showing up and giving it your all every day?
Oh, that was people. That's easy, right? I mean, you know, this job is all about the people, the relationships. I mean, from establishing that relationship, like Ben said, with the leadership team, we've got an amazing team right now. There's an amazing team coming in. That's going to be awesome for the main air guard. And earning the trust, keeping the trust of the folks out there. And, you know, like Ben said, the nuts and bolts of the job are just that, right? Those things are they'll almost take care of themselves once you get into a rhythm on those. But getting out and about as best you can, and keeping those relationships going, making sure people know that you're there for them, that you're listening. You know, follow-up is the hugest thing for me, is, you know, you tell somebody that you're looking into something for them, and to just hit them with a text or a call or whatever, hey, I'm still working on it, we haven't forgotten you, that kind of stuff. I think that's a big thing for me, and I think that'll take Ben a long way too, because he already does those kinds of things as well. So yeah.
I mean, a common theme here with all these answers to me is just seems like the people are important to both of you, and I think, you know, everybody's going to love to hear that first of all, but I think that they'll know that you genuinely mean it, both of you. That, you know, the people are, it's what keeps everything going out here, and those relationships are really what's most important, people knowing that you both care about them and who they are outside of the uniform. That's really awesome. So I appreciate that for sure, knowing that. What are your most fond memories holding this role, Chief Mudrowski? Let us know. A couple fun stories. A
couple of fun stories. Jeez. I think the travel was always fun. I mean, even though there was hiccups in the travel and that kind of stuff, you know, we got to go to some really cool places. Never got to go to Montenegro. I'm a little bitter about that. But by the time I got into the seat, those relationships had been established with our state partnership folks over there, and it was time for our comm folks and SPANGs and all that to hit the ground running with our Army counterparts to go over and a lot of cyber stuff, a lot of civil engineering. So that was cool. I loved seeing that happen. And obviously the groundwork that was laid when our folks got over there with our state partners had really taken place, because by the time we were a couple of years into it, the Montenegrins aren't ones to really, I won't say not trust, but really rely on their NCO Corps, and now they do. They've really seen that as an important thing. So that was really cool for me to see. So again, the travel's always fun, but by and large, just going around the base and going down and working the gate was always fun. That was something that I was a little apprehensive about, but Colonel Newell thought it was a very important thing, and we got down there, and every time we've done it, we've had a really great time. Looking back, when I was working with then Colonel Gillis, we would do the walks with the commander, where we would gather a few people and go down and walk our way down towards the Voodoo Island and the static displays down there, and just listening to him talk with the folks, and at first have it be a little bit awkward, because you know you're walking with the wing commander and the command chief, and people don't really want to say anything. But by the time he started, he was great at it, he would like. Just start talking about history of the wing and you know, the static displays and that kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, we're having a very natural, very organic conversation with groups of 2 to 20 people. So that was cool. And so those are the memories I'll look back on, is always just the interaction with the people, right? I mean, because again, you know, Ben and I have talked about this a million times. It's you know, that's what makes this Maine Air Guard go around, are the people. You know, again, not to sound cliche, but the most valuable asset, you know, are our people. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's awesome. Chief Poland, take us back many years ago.
Oh, boy.
Did you ever think you'd end up here, assuming a role like this?
No, absolutely not. What a lot of people don't know is when I was in high school, I actually depped into the active duty Army. So I swore in to the Army my senior year in high school, and that's what I was going to do. And I didn't tell my parents about it until after I did it. I obviously got some resistance from my father, who was a chief out here for a long time. And then as I got closer to graduation, I realized that I didn't think that was really a good idea for me. So we worked through the process of getting released from the delayed entry program. And as soon as I was released, I enlisted here. In January of 1999, I went away to tech school, basic training and tech school, came back, and really had no plan. I meant that when I said it on Sunday. I had no plan. Didn't know what I was going to do when I grew up. Wanted to get through college and see what happened. And I was fortunate enough to get hired out here full time. I was working in a school at the time, and I was hired out here full time, and never really looked back. I never really pictured myself sitting here, but as I moved through my career and had more engagement with people and helping people, I fell in love with that. I became really passionate about it. Really wanted to be the person that people wanted to call when they needed help. So when the opportunity presented itself, to move outside of my comfort zone a little bit into a different group, especially into operations, with that being kind of a unique group in itself, I jumped at the opportunity to do that, and was fortunate enough to get hired in a very competitive, interview process against some really strong candidates. When I got up there, obviously establishing myself up there and building the relationships with the leadership team and having them trust me was important, encourage me was important. But having the opportunity to watch Stan over the last few years and the things that he's done and the relationships that he's been able to create and make really kind of solidified, you know, me wanting to do the same. So that's kind of the cradle to where I am now of how I got where I am. And that when I first started, I had no intention and no plan. And here I am.
Yeah,
that's a great story. I mean, I feel like a lot of people can definitely relate to that, you know, so that's, I'm sure people are going to appreciate hearing that from you, that you don't have to have it all figured out at the beginning. You know, eventually along the way, you'll figure things out as you go and you'll end up someplace that you never even imagined you'd be.
He keyed in on something really important, though, and I think that's one thing that everybody that gets to a goal that they ultimately see for themselves eventually, right, is stepping outside of your comfort zone. Whatever that means for you, right? Mine was to go become a first sergeant. I watched some of my mentors from the communications flight, Richard Chase, Ken Fox, Anthony McPherson, outside of communications, you know, Jeremiah Delisle, Chet Noyes, a few other folks, all went and took that leap. And I was like, to use Ben's phrase, I kind of could see myself doing it. After, you know, I watched them, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And that's another way to help people, you know, get to wherever they want to be, right? Or be there for people. And so getting outside your comfort zone is huge.
Yeah, I know. I personally always say there's no growth in the comfort zone. So that's exactly what you were just reiterating there, that you just got to try something out. If you fail, oh well. You know, it's better to try than to not know, right? So, you know, same question for you. Just, did you expect your career to go the way that it did?
Oh, no, no. Actually, you know, again, active duty guy. Thought it would be 20 years plus, whatever. My dad was a 31-year guy for active duty. And so I saw myself in that role as well. And then when we came back home to Maine, I tried the civilian world for a while, and it's awesome, but not necessarily for me. It's a different world out there, right? I mean, and all the pluses and minuses of that. And so when I had the opportunity to come back out here, I came out here for a while, wasn't for me, came back in 2001 at the urging of Chief Master Sergeant Bud Butterfield and Tim Colfer, Chief Master Sergeant Tim Colfer. And about 3 months into it, Chief Colfer got promoted and his position came open, and I put in for that and got it. And that started my full-time side of things. And then after that, you know, Anthony McPherson and I would sit down and talk about where we saw each other going over the years. So, you know, after a while, anyway, just started kind of emulating some of the things that he did and some of the other folks in COM and outside of COM, like I said before. And eventually you get a couple of shoulder taps from people. And mine were from, you know, Chief Osgood, Scott Osgood, and Chief Master Sergeant Dan Moore. And they said, hey, have you thought of this first sergeant thing? And I said, geez, it's funny you should say that. I've been watching some of my mentors, and yeah. And so those things kind of happened. And next thing you know, Chief Delisle's talking to me, because he was a shirt at the time, and he's talking to me about, hey, I'm moving on, and I put your name in for the AMXS shirt. And I was like, no, I'm pretty happy down here at Med Group. And, you know, you get comfortable. So again, stepping out of a comfort zone. And so, you know, and then things snowballed from there in a good way. And I was really very fortunate, very blessed. I was accepted back into COM after I took my diamond off and got hired as the chief and the SCX supervisor up there. And then Chief Osgood said, hey, I'm moving on. There's going to be some stiff competition, but you should think about, you know, the idea of command chief. And I was like, I don't know. But yes, so yeah. So then, yeah. And then as I'm walking into my interview, Chief Poland's walking out of his interview for it, and I was like, not this guy again. Yeah, because he's
yeah, so chuckle. That's a running joke right there.
It is a running joke.
Between Stan and I. So Stan and I both applied for and interviewed for the Ops Group Senior Enlisted Leader position. And I got hired for that, obviously, but things clearly worked out for Stan after that. I'd like to think there was a plan, right? And then we both applied for the command chief position when he was selected. So We have the rubber match. I don't know how we're going to do that, if we do just a rock, paper, scissors to see who the one is. But so that's kind of been a running joke the last few years with Stan and I. So
yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, that's funny to know. Just you've kind of both been battling it out at these different roles. I mean, that just shows that, you know, how awesome you both are at your roles and what you do, and how we're all lucky to have you all as our leaders. So I definitely appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, you say battling it out, but through all of that, we have supported each other every step of the way. I think we can both look at each other and both say that there are exceptional qualities about the other person. And whatever direction, you know, any person was going to go at any given time was, you know, in my mind was the right way.
I agree 100%. And then, you know, and we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the support that we've had from our group level chiefs and then chiefs council, all the councils. But I mean, you know, we've got a nucleus of the 9Gs, you know, the group level chiefs that are awesome. You know, the folks from Spangs, Chief Skeen, Chief Gothier, Chief Herrick up here, Chief Higgins, Chief Eric McDonald before he retired, you know, Chief Parody, and then the folks that come in when those chiefs can't make it. And that's what happens, right? It's seamless. So, like, if they can't make it to a meeting for some reason, you know, Chief Delisle or Chief Sperry, you know, Chief Mulkern comes in, you know, Chief Petrie when she was still here would come in, all of them, on and on and on. And so, you know, the level of talent that we have at this wing is amazing from top to bottom. And so it's going to be fun to watch where the wing goes next, you know, with the new leadership team coming in, and it's pretty cool.
Well, Chief Niedorowski, what's in store for retirement? What are your plans?
Trish and I don't know. Trish coined the phrase "our golden 20." It's because we're both turning 60. I'll be 60 here real soon. She just turned. Sorry, babe. And then we've always said that if we can get 20 good years, you know, then anything else after that is gravy. So she's down there in Florida right now. I head out here in a few days to head down there and join her with the two dogs. And we'll just hang out and see how life comes at us, and enjoy ourselves. Get back to the neighborhood when the weather's nicer, and open the pool back up. Game on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love to hear it.
Thanks.
Well, do either of you have any saved rounds you want to cover before we close this thing up here?
I don't think so.
No?
I think we give the last word to the guy going out the door.
Oh, geez.
What's it mean to be a maniac? Tell us.
I think to be a maniac is to be part of something bigger than yourself, and to strive for excellence, and just always know that maniacs do the right thing, and we're over there doing the right thing right now, right? We've got maniacs everywhere crushing it and doing the right thing.
Well, Chief Pohl and Chief Niedorowski, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Maniac Radio Show. We're excited to have you up here, Chief Pohl and Chief Niedorowski. Enjoy retirement.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
So there it is, the last recorded official words from Chief Niedorowski in a military capacity. I'm sure he'll be back in other forms. It's bittersweet. It hurts. But we're all very excited about Chief Poland's assumption of responsibility as the new Wing Command Chief. Congrats to both chiefs, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from Chief Poland in the years to come. I do want to take a second to recognize Bridget, who as a senior airman volunteered to sit down with two command chiefs, no easy task. A lot of young airmen might shy away from an intimidating project like that, but she stood up and hit the task head on. I know as a senior airman, I would have been mouth-breathing the whole time, not knowing what to say. But she did an amazing job, so thank you, Bridget, for doing that. Don't forget, we have people out the door. Check in with them. See if they need anything. Check in with their families. Just a simple, hey, how you doing, goes a long way. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram. You can search for us by typing 101STARW. You can also listen to all previous 70 episodes of the Maniac Radio Show on Divid, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and now Pandora. Pretty cool. So now when we say, listen to wherever you get your pods, it's not only the cool thing to say, but we really mean it. The option is there. And just like pineapple as a pizza topping, you can take it or leave it. But that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Bridget for putting this together. Thanks for the Chiefs for doing this. But more importantly, a sincere thanks to Chief Niedorowski for his years of service to our great nation. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. See ya.